the opportunity to record with Dr. Matt Boddy. He is an assistant principal in Georgia, and he is the host of Educate to Elevate podcast. It was amazing getting to talk to him, and I really enjoyed this episode, and I hope you do too.
So to start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Professionally or personally?
Either.
Either. Okay. My name's Matt Boddy. I'm an assistant principal in Metro Atlanta, Georgia. Assistant principal of curriculum and instruction. I work at a school with about 2,500 kids, 160 teachers, and it's my second year in the position, and I'm learning a lot every day outside of work. I'm married, father of two, enjoy basketball, reading, and comedic television.
That's awesome. So in education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you have had in education.
As a teacher, some of the good days I had were kind of twofold. One was having seen the connections with students content-wise. I worked in counties that focused a lot on standard-based instruction. So seeing students really grasp standards and the concepts associated with them was always fun. And then also in the classroom, also was a yearbook advisor for a couple of years. And that was also a lot of fun because that's a different environment to be in as a, you have different experiences and interactions with the students. So that was kind of fun to get to know them in different ways and to work with them on a year-long project that had a big payoff at the end, which was the creation of the yearbook. So that was a fun experience because, as I said, you got to know the kids in a different way. Professionally speaking, some of the good days have been working with teachers, supporting teachers, and seeing them grow professionally, watching them grow into better teachers, into more successful teachers, and into better leaders themselves is rewarding. So that's why I love this job.
Yeah, and I like what you said about how you helped out with the yearbook, because I think that it's so nice to see the kids in a different dynamic. Because you're so used to seeing them as your students, but then when they're able to stay after and you see them really dive into what they're interested in, it's really cool to see that light bulb go off for a lot of them because they're doing something that they enjoy.
Yeah, and a lot of the memories that you have for yearbook are those, as you just said, those after school moments. So really getting to talk with kids and learn about them as people are the things you remember from those classes. And that doesn't show up on an assessment and it doesn't even really show up in the yearbook. It's just those memories you have of working with them, and those are the things you keep.
So likewise, what are some things you have experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
In the classroom, the difficulties that I experienced were a lot of time. Well, I taught all levels. I was an English teacher, and I taught all levels, meaning grades 9, 10, 11, and 12. I taught high school. And the differences with each grade level was something that was difficult at times. Switching from freshmen to seniors, which is what I did the first time, was challenging because you're going from a completely different maturity level. So that was kind of a tough adjustment and having to find a way to communicate with these students effectively. And then those middle levels, 10 and 11, the challenge I found there was the content, some of the curriculum. And I particularly am not crazy about 11th grade curriculum in language arts. So that was kind of hard to teach because it was just not my favorite content-wise. We weren't covering the material I really enjoyed. But in, on the other side, that helped me become better at standards-based instruction because then I just focused on the standards more than the content, which I think is something English teachers often struggle with. We fall in love with the text instead of what the skills that the students are supposed to learn. As an administrator, first year as an administrator was a lot of struggles. You know, I thought communication was one of my strengths, but once I got into the role, I saw that it apparently isn't one of my strengths because I realized I had a lot of trouble communicating expectations with my teachers. And that was something I had to work on a great deal.
So what is one piece of advice you would like to give any new teachers?
New teachers, I think the most important advice that I could give new teachers, and I just had this talk the other day with one of my new teachers, is being open to feedback. Because I believe that a lot of teachers, myself included, when you are in the profession for a while, you tend to in your ways. And you've done this lesson this way for this long, or you've taught this book before, and you like the way you're doing things, and you think it's effective. And I'm not saying it's not effective, but sometimes you have feedback that is intended to help you as a teacher, because the goal is to help students as learners. And a lot of times teachers are resistant to that feedback because they take it kind of as a personal indictment on us as teachers. So as I was telling this teacher the other day, I was telling him that I think his greatest strength is his ability to listen to feedback. He didn't take things personally, and he always was willing to try something new. So that would be my advice to any new teacher, is to be open to feedback, see it as positive, constructive criticism to help you and your students achieve more, not as an attack against you as a professional.
Yeah, I think that's something that definitely a lot of new teachers struggle with, because it was when we were in college, I got a lot of feedback and I tried to really reflect and grow from it. And then when you start, it really doesn't take a lot of time to write down what went well and what didn't and how you can improve. But I feel like I'm very class by class. Like this year, I'm teaching something and it doesn't go well in my first block, or I tried and something could have been tweaked. So then I try fixing it for my next class, and I kind of talk to students and see what's working if I'm trying something new. And I'm willing to take that risk of things not going well, but then I want to fix it and do better next time. So it's always something when I jot down notes of what really worked throughout the day, that helps me when I teach the same lesson again or if I do something similar.
Well, yeah, I think two things you said there are absolutely true. First, all your classes are not the same. So we all have that class that is like just rainbows and sunshine. For whatever reason, that class is just great. There's a good vibe in that room, and lessons work well with that class. And then there's the other class that is just, you don't know what it's going to be day to day. And I think a lot of new teachers kind of struggle with that, because they want to have every class be the sunshine and rainbows class, but that's just not realistic. They're not all a class. Every class is not the same. So yeah. I think that's absolutely true. And the other thing you said is just, to me, just sounds like an example of you being on your way to being a great teacher, because that's what good teachers do. They tweak a lesson as the day goes on. You see what worked with your first period, and then I'm gonna do more of that. And I saw the part that didn't work first period, so I'm gonna do less of that second. That's just what good teachers do.
Thank you. So my pleasure. How can people get in contact with you? You can share any social media handles or any other things that you do that people would be able to listen to or look you up and get advice or support.
Oh, absolutely. I try to be pretty simple to find. I use the same name for everything. I'm just Dr. Matt Body at everything. So Dr. Matt Body at Gmail. If you want to email me, Dr. Matt Body on Twitter, Dr. Matt Body on YouTube. I have a YouTube where I'm not very active on YouTube anymore, to be honest. That's when I was in the classroom, I would basically read literature to my students so they could, if they didn't have time to read it in class, they could watch my YouTube channel and get me reading it to them and lecturing. So but a lot of kids still reach out to me through that, like random people I've never met, or like, hey, I listened to your Beowulf video. Thank you. So that's kind of nice. But that's on YouTube as well. And then I have a podcast called Educate to Elevate, which is aimed at primarily at new administrators or people interested into getting into administration.
That's awesome. So is there anything else that you want to discuss or mention?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is kind of in the vein of what I was just saying a moment ago, administration-wise, any teachers that are interested in getting into administration, because that's the most common question I get from my podcast, is people emailing asking, how do I become an administrator? And I think the best advice I can give them is to be a good classroom teacher. That's the first and most important thing that you should do, is be confident in the classroom and competent in the classroom. Make sure that you have engaging instruction and take on more responsibility than you're asked to take on. Because when you show yourself in the classroom, and that doesn't just mean with student data, but it means your command of the classroom, your command and versatility as a teacher, and your willingness to go above and beyond to help the teachers you work with and the students you serve, that's what really draws the eye and the attention of other administrators in your building and throughout the county. That's how you get noticed. So it's not, you shouldn't just try to jump at it because you want the title. You should be willing to take on more responsibility because it's a lot more work, and that's, you have to have that in you.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm a fan of your podcast, and I appreciate you having time for me. Keep doing what you're doing. You're very active on Twitter, and you seem to have a great support network around you. So I think you're going to be doing great things.
Thank you.